Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still
You Cannot Say, written by none other than my big brother, Jay Heder. And the singer and writer of the beautiful music that goes with Heder's words was done by Shout Even Shy. And vast, vast crowd that loves that song. Just saying. You are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. This is Deborah Lee. And we are a poetry group, chat group, little family that hangs out at allpoetry.com, one of the biggest poetry sites out there. If you're a member or if you join, which you can do for free, click the groups tab and look us up again, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. You can come hang out. You can call in to participate at 1-646-668-2837. And read a poem for us. That would be fantastic. And we have different shows every night of the week with a different host and a different topic, a little bit of something for everybody. And I'm sure you could find something that tickles you. And Monday nights are my night, and we do personal prompts, and the topics are all over the place, and the poems by the incredible poets that call the show are brilliant. So prepared to be dazzled. And let's have some of these people in here with us. But first, let me say, hey, Heather, my co-host and
hey,
my big brother. Glad you're here.
Merry Christmas.
And we got some people waiting to come in with us, one of which I found sitting here in my beanbag chair waiting for me to get here, Sky. Hey, Sky.
Hello. It's very comfy.
Thank you.
I like all the purple.
Yeah. I got away with it because, like, it's my favorite color at all. And I have my beautiful little sister, Sweet Pea, in the line. Hey, Sweet.
Hello.
And there she is. And I have the amazing dynamic duo from A Poetic Slice of Life and a team of voices, Stephen and Kay. Welcome to the show, you guys. Guys are here.
Hello.
And last but not least in this line is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show.
Hello, folks. How y'all doing?
Hey, Wayne.
Doing okay. How are you, Wayne?
I'm doing good, doing good. A little tired, but doing good.
I'm glad. And I am going to just get us right into this. Because the, I know a lot of you need to do your thing and dazzle me. And, oh, man, there's the dumpster. Heather, talk for a minute.
Hey. Who's
hey,
got
hey.
Snow?
Hey, time for you to talk.
Hey, Sweet. Sweet. Hey, Sky, how come we got to repeat your name three times? That's what I
want. You started it.
I don't know. It's all you.
I don't know. It's just odd.
Thank you, Heather.
Do you echo everywhere you go? Go.
A lot of people do that now because of you. Yeah, Heather. You started a trend.
You like how she got that little because of you in there? I heard that echo. But thank you, Heather. The guy with the dumpster out is really loud. It sounds like a mega lightning storm. And I guess his new pickup time is 10 p.m. at night. Anyhow, back to the amazing poets and poetry, which is a perfect segue to our first poem of the night. Kay, I put your poem on the board. You get to kick us off with your dazzle. Now, at the moment, the lineup is Kay, Stephen, Sky. I need to know the rest of your time schedules, please.
Me.
Okay.
About an hour.
I got a doctor's appointment. I got a doctor's appointment in the morning.
Well, you're stuck here.
You're stuck here anyway.
But okay. So, Kay, please take us away.
Okay. I call mine orange, reds, palettes, cedars, and ellipsed orbs. Listeners dance twixt twilight palaces of a spectral, waxy face consideration. Invite in, perhaps, as foundlings, dead green curves of silences, dressers of wardrobes, clothing shed in its bruises, to lanterns of memoirs bustle the darkened streets, lined with snow. Train whistle blows in the distance, odors of the mist mildew the air, shades of beige, cheeks turning rosy from the chill, corncob the glee of laughter as the snowman prays, cardinals chirp, and prisms of triadics let the circle of cheer not be broken. End poem.
Okay, well, let me start at the end. Cardinals chirp in prism of tragics that the circle of cheer not be broken. I love that, that the circle of cheer not be broken. Love that. Here's hoping that none of our circles of cheer are broken, at least for a little while. But I like how it starts right from the beginning. Listeners dance twixt twilight palaces of spectral waxy face consideration. Inviting, perhaps. I what is that thing on my screen? Oh, okay. Anyway, I love the visuals there. But the twixt twilight palaces is really a brilliant phrase. It tickled me. And then for different reasons, I giggled just a little when you got towards the end when the train whistle blows in the distance. Odors of the mist, mildew, the air, shades of beige, cheeks turning rosy from the chill. And I could picture, like, my kids almost always had bright, rosy cheeks, and it made me think of Nova, no matter what they were doing, especially if they were asleep. The minute they fell asleep, it was like they had bright red rouge on their faces. Still, I think. So I liked it, the clever use of the word, and I liked the visuals, and I, again, especially loved the ending. That's why I started there. So a fantastic share and a fantastic way to kick off this show. So let me get you some comments, and thank you, Kay.
Hey, Deb.
How about if I start with Sky, please?
One, I love this pick, and we often, I think, hover sometimes over the same picture, which it always brings me a smile because I'm like, yeah, we both like that one. But there's so many lines in this piece that I love. Till lanterns of Mars bustle in the darkened streets lined with snow. I think it's hard choice, but I think this is my favorite line. It brought the idea of memoirs and memory and bringing in that nostalgia. And then if you don't just leave us there with that that memory, you bring it forth with things like audio senses, train whistles blow in the distance. You can hear this poem, odors of the mildew. You can smell it, shades of the beige, cheeks turning rosy from the chill. You can see it. You're bringing all these collective senses together to bring this poem to life and this scenic place to life. And I just really, really loved it. And then the cardinals with the circles of cheer not broken, that sense of a little bit of hope at the end. I thought you did an excellent job with this piece. And like I said, the senses, touching on all the senses, was just really, really, it was visceral for me. You really brought it to life. Really well done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Hatter?
Do you really have cardinals where you're at?
Yes.
Do you really? Wow. One of the prettiest birds there are, isn't it?
They're beautiful.
Man.
Yeah.
We don't have them on the west. We don't have them in the west over here.
I think the cardinal is an Ohio State bird, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Oh, good, I remember. Yes.
No, I could through your poem. You mentioned, if I could find it, the smell. Winter's got a smell, as far as a California sun dude like I am. Winter's got a smell. And I don't know how to describe it other than cold. Once again, this is nice. It's you're complete. You complete everything. You got the beginning, middle, and the ending of everything you write now, and that's a trait that comes along and with time. The time you put in, you know how to end it. A lot of times, it's people end it too abruptly, or they don't know how to end it, and it sort of drags on a little bit. But you've got it down to show it off again. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, and Wayne.
Yes.
First.
Where'd Wayne go?
Wayne.
Lost you, Wayne.
I thought I heard him for a second, and now
he was there.
Yeah.
He might still be riding that one.
It says he's there, but maybe. All right. Sweet, will you comment, please?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Hatter, you said winter has a smell.
Did y'all hear me?
And I'm there. You are. There's Wayne.
This damn phone. We're going to throw a phone up with it. If I, well, I went from, if I hit the mute button, they put you on hold. So I was talking to myself again.
Okay. As long as you didn't get an answer, that's all good. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, it was a beautiful poem, and Deb stole my lines, and Sky stole my comment. So I said anyway, I said, I see the poem, I think the poem, I still a poem. It was a great job, and you did a good, wonderful job with us, Kay. And a good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And I'm sorry, Sweet, did you get to say one? No, I
did not.
Please do.
Okay. So, I don't say that winter has a smell, and it has a certain... to me, it has the smell of ice from the lake. And if you live by Lake Erie, the mist mildew of the air, I totally get that smell, just FYI. There's a certain, I don't know, it's almost a smell of gray mist. If I could ever say that, if somebody wanted me to describe the smell of winter off of Lake Erie, it would be a mystical gray. I don't know why I feel that way, but that's how I would describe it. And the trip of the cardinal, I love how you described it, because the C major, the E minor, and the D, you know, that particular, and I only took piano lessons for a very short amount of time because my fingers are too short to reach an octave, but that particular stanza, is very cardinal-like, and I love that you went there. And trust me, that's the fact I remember the cardinal being the Ohio bird, and I remember that particular set of music. I'm 100, and that's as smart as I'm going to get tonight, people, so just forget about anything else. But I love this. It kind
Thank
of
you.
Brought me home. It brought me home for a minute, and I really, really appreciate it. And the train whistle, because there's all kinds of trains down around, you know, the area. It just took me home. So thank you.
Thank you as well.
Awesome comment. Now, Mr. Stephen, if you would comment for Kay and then read for us, that'd be awesome.
Yes. Well, as for the train whistle, you know that when we moved here, I used to complain about it, but now I can't sleep without it.
Yeah, we hear it every night.
Yeah. We don't live right next to it, but you could hear it in the distance. But when we first moved here, it was like loud as hell because I wasn't used to it. But yeah, I like this a lot. I think it's a beautiful description, not only of the painting, but I think you also brought a little bit of home into this too.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the words, like when you talk about dressers of wardrobes, clothing, it makes me think of Benny trying to open the tall dresser door, and we keep telling him that Narnia is closed. But yeah, this is a really cool, hon. I went with, I'm pretty sure it's a local company. There's a company called Lighthouse Pools and Spas up here, and in the wintertime, the pools and spas take a back seat to their. But they used to have a very beautiful Christmas display when I was a kid, and this picture made me think of that. And so that's kind of what I wrote about. So I call this a winter wonderland maze that pushed hot tubs into the back room. As pools and spas take a back seat to lighthouses covered in tinsel, pine pyramids grow from floorboards blanketed in ivory cotton snow. Evergreen needles adorned with gold orbs, red circles, and green ovals, each topped with a glimmering star or a shimmering angel. Sparkling garland lay in multiple rings that grow tighter as they reach the tops of towering trees that form a winter wonderland maze from storefront to the Jolly Toy Maker. The immortal cobbler of miracles awaiting your Christmas wish and to bestow a small globe. A clear snow dome depicting North Pole scenery to be shaken into blizzards fit for Rudolph by tiny tottering hands. End poem.
Well, you know, okay, everybody, I don't care. Everybody's going to whine, but you know I'm going right to the end because I was so cute. A clear snow dome depicting North Pole scenery to be shaken into blizzards fit for Rudolph by tiny tottering hands. I love that imagery there. You can picture the kid shaking the globe. You can even see that the snow inside, and you can picture that there's a little tiny Rudolph in there. I mean, so just the scenery that you put in that last stanza is awesome. But I like from your title where the hot tubs got pushed into the back room, that's a task in itself to push them hot tubs around. But it's just a little thing that adds like a personal touch because I assume the place near you has hot tubs that made you think of it maybe. But I like the little thing with like the lighthouse covered in tinsel and the evergreen needles. And I'm not going to steal everything, but sparkling garland lay in multiple rings. I mean, you just totally took the picture. You brought every detail out, and we don't have to see what you wrote to. We can just see it all through your words. And I'm biting my tongue because there's two more I want to steal, and sure enough, somebody will say, well, that's Dolman Eyes. but I have to leave some for others, that's for sure. I thought there was a lot of charmingness, if that's a word, to this poem. I enjoyed it very much. Brought back some memories, too, and that's always a gift, so thank you for that. And you know what? I'm going to ask your wife to comment first this time.
Well, yeah, you know, I like this because when you speak about lighthouse pools, I'm not sure if they're still in business, but I do remember when our son was little, we used to make that our tradition, too, as far as going there because their setup for Christmas was always awesome. They literally, during Christmas time, they probably had like 50 or more trees in the store, just all decorated. It was like its own Christmas wonderland.
Yeah,
it was always cool to go through. So I like how you brought that through because it is a remembrance from your childhood that we were able to bring to our son's childhood as well, which makes that for a cool Christmas memory. It's an awesome share.
Thanks, son.
Awesome comment. And Sweet, how about you?
Oh, you guys are killing me tonight, just FYI.
So the two of you remember going downtown, like not just seeing this and all that, but going downtown around the Terminal Tower when May Company and all of them were down there and seeing all the window displays and all the stuff that was in downtown Cleveland. So this reminds me of that. And, of course, that reminds me of being with my dad. And this is just another take you back home kind of home for me. And so, wow, you guys, you're just killing me. Thank you very much, David and Kay. And this is the way personal one. God, you're killing me. You got me crying tonight. But yeah, beautiful. I love it. I love it so much because I'm like there. I'm there. So it's just beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Amadeus.
Sorry.
I was going to say that too. I love when he does that. How do we comment for your nemesis?
Yeah, you know, you guys that live in this know to describe it just perfectly, you know, and in fact, a little known fact, ice and snow was created by some evil ice wizard, you know, and to make humans uncomfortable and cold and miserable, and he's still scratching his head going, they're playing in it. I can't be that. The snow. We had a Christmas a shop. It was really weird. When we grew up in the Bay Area, which is about 100 miles away, we had neighbors, like everybody does. But they ended up moving up here years later, and I saw them in this, they had a Christmas store that was a Christmas store year-round. And they had the most elaborate snow globes you'd ever want to see. And I bought about four or five of them and gave them as gifts. But they were the most detailed, intricate. I don't know. To this day, I don't know how they made the scenes inside. It's like a, it's like one of the dollhouses that are just so, the scrollings and the baseboards are all perfectly done. That's what it reminded me of, the shaking. Deb was right, the shaking to blizzards for, fit for Rudolph, with tiny tottering hands. Nicely done. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Hatter. Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Awesome comment. And how about you, Wayne?
Try to do this up and on hold. All right. I said this is a very, very descriptive poem. The Pine Pyramids is a wonderful metaphor to use. I also like the line, Immortal Cobbler of Miracles. It has a little alliterative taste to it. And tomorrow I got to start putting my tree up, so it's got me in the mood for drinking a few beers and putting the tree up. I just need now to get Rudolph over to help me and his little assistants. And then Stephen wants to come over tomorrow to help me. It's a great poem, great descriptive poem. I enjoyed it. Good job, Steve.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And before I have Sky comment and read, you want to tell us what's happening over there this week?
Sure. I'm going to butcher the second one. But our next two shows are actually both Poetic Inklings. The first one's Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. And we have quotes from the Christmas classic book from Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol, to write to. So check that out. And then we have a special edition of Poetic Inklings on Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And it's the one-word prompt. And I'm going to butcher the pronunciation of the word, but I believe it's Saruk. It's spelled S-A-R-E-U-R-E-U-K. And it means, it describes the sound and the motion of snowflakes slowly melting in the warmer temperature or under the morning sun. So that's what we have.
Oh, cool.
Help, help, help. I'm melting.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, now, how about if Sky comments for Stephen, and then it's your turn to dazzle us.
Oh, yes, excellent. I thought this was an excellent piece. You know, I thought the Pine Pyramids was quite brilliant. I never really thought of it that way, but it quite is like that. I love how you described the scene and how you brought in that feel-good vibe that December brings. The snow globes in the end, I think snow globes are, to me and to many people, a special memento of Christmas. So I love how you brought that in there, kind of encompassing it through that. And then, of course, the shake and the blizzard and Rudolph by the tiny tottering hands. I mean, this is just, it's one of those feel-good writes that you could just read and smile and implement pieces and memories of yourself, but also enjoy something completely new and share with somebody else's memory and kind of tuck in similarities. I love that about it. And the sparkling garland too, with the grill tighter as they reach the tops. You know, it's really, when you start running out, it's really a problem. I feel that every Christmas when I'm doing that garland. You just have to make it, you tie it real tight and then you have to go back and loosen it. I don't know if anybody else has to do that, but I end up tying it too tight and then I'm sitting there and I'm fluffing the garland. So I liked that little detail. Excellent, excellently done.
Thank you.
Awesome comment.
And mine is catching tower lanterns on Portsmouth Harbors. And if anybody doesn't know, we in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, we have this, it's a pretty big thing. It's called Strawberry Bank. So there's a little play on words there. If you don't know, I think most people know what Strawberry Bank is, though. But Catching Tower Lanterns on Portsmouth Harbors by Sky Darkholm. There is a bank made of strawberry sunsets, dapples of lavender linen and navy spruce, a faint orchid ash threading a terry of yellow in evening's glow. In this arc of cloud bend and star set, sips of New England harbor water, a gathering dance of color prisms over tight ship sails and colonial houses. It is here memories of French patisserie, bistros, palate crepes and wine, that laughter lanterns like tower ghosts are still alit. I walk Prescott Gardens and summer circle steps, rows of tousled grass that fasten thoughts to June. And in that loop of warmth, when rain on cheek patters Portsmouth docks, I wonder if paths of trodden green will ever have chance to grow, or if they will forever linger like the imprints of gold rings that have long since been put away. And poem.
Wow. For one thing, the tone of your reading voice, Sky, always draws me in no matter what it is that you're reading about. There's this feel that comes from your voice that vests me in what it is that you write about. I like the idea of strawberry sunsets that dapples on lavender linen. That is a gorgeous phrase, and it does look kind of like a linen sky, and you can see all the colors from the painting. And so dapple is a perfect word, too, because it's it's something that fits with art and our strokes and stuff like that, so I thought that was kind of clever. A faint orchid ash threading a terry of yellow in evening glow. The visuals here, are absolutely breathtaking, and to get so much, you took the colors that are bursting in the sky and just splashed the page with them and made them every bit as beautiful in word as they were visually. And where was that? That laughter lanterns, like tower ghosts, are still alit. And there's a chilling, haunting feel there in those memories. Like the tower ghosts. I love that. There is something about lighthouses there. They feel like when you feel something when you're there. Like, I don't know if it's the history or just like crazy me, but when you're there, we have quite a few, Barnegat, Cape May, to name two, but like when you get there, it feels like you can feel like it's been there for a long time, and the history is screaming at you like those ghost towers or tower ghosts. So I thought that was really brilliant. And then you're closing there or if they will forever linger, like the imprint of gold rings that have long since been put away. And sobering is the right word, but there was sort of a change in the feel there at the thought of the gold rings also mean, you know, that they're long gone, so now there's that amount of stain, a shadow, a discoloration or something. I thought that this came out really awesome. And now, from listening to you read this and feeling the words come alive, I'm looking forward to when I post the lighthouse topic, because I'm pretty sure the one you mentioned is in one of the photos. Not that you had to take that one. But anyway, beautiful piece. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you, Deb.
Let me start with Kay.
Well, yeah. I like the prompt that you chose. It's wonderful. But I like the light that you added to it, because with certain lines like strawberry sunset, lavender linen, the gather and dance of color prisms, it adds to the look of nature, time. You also add into a life unfolding as well. I like how you brought in the closing, because it has its own wealth of meaning, like the imprint of gold rings that have been long since put away. It has a sadness in its passage of time that is no longer, as to how I see it. And also share.
Thank you, Kay.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, do you want to comment?
Yeah. Those last two lines, I didn't mention in the comment that I wrote. I'm going to read what I wrote first. I said, it's absolutely beautiful, because it is. From the descriptions of the sunset to the colors of memories marching through the tall grass to the sea. And that's what I see. But the last line makes me think of Lois, I think of imprint of gold rings, and I think the imprint on the ring finger.
Yeah.
And they've been put away, so there's loss there in the end. But yeah, very beautiful ring.
Thank you, Stephen.
Awesome comment. Yeah, so I was thinking too, that stained look on your, it's like lighter, your skin's lighter because it didn't get any sun. That's what I was thinking too, the ring finger. Hatter, would you like to comment?
Yeah, I don't know what some of this is, but it sounds delicious. A French, what is that, patisserie?
Patisserie. It's actually a place in Portsmouth. They have lots of little shops there. It's a wine and bistro shop. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that. I would have ordered that. Okay.
Well, it is. They sell crepes and things like that.
Well,
and pastries.
Okay. No, you write so eloquently. It's remarkable to me. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Hatter.
Aww.
You're welcome.
Wayne, will you comment, please?
Yes. This is quite a stroll you took me on. It was such a pleasant walk, and with all the lovely views. And it was fine until you saw the tassel of grass. And then you got thinking about June. And now I want to go for a swim. But I have to wait. Lovely read, laid back emotions. And I wish we could have strolled a little farther down the road. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment, Wayne. And Sky, I'm going to have Sweet comment next and read. So I was wondering if you wanted to tell us what's up in the world of Sky Radio first.
Oh, yep. On A Poetic Slice of Life on Saturday at 8 p.m. I'm crashing really fast, I'm sorry. 8 p.m., Poetic Slice of Life, we're doing...
late night.
Yes, thank you. I'm like crashing.
From the North Pole.
Oh, that was so perfect. Thank you. We're doing the Santa Claus, the film, 1, 2, and 3. You could write to any of the themes, scenes, characters, or quotes. You could always go anywhere you want. It's going to be fun. No homework required. And that's at Poetic Slice at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. And then on the 14th, not tomorrow, but next Tuesday, we will be going down to with really random stuff. And this does require homework, so it's Sky Home Study Program, as Sweet Pea would like to say. And we're doing three prompts, as always. The Lost City of Angkor Wat is a video, pretty cool. We're going to learn all about flatulence, so there's some actually really good information in there. So you can, after you learn a little bit,
what?
You can go anywhere you want, even if it's a little crazy.
There
and then, of course,
actually a show about it.
Yeah, see?
Our show topic stinks, don't it?
There's scientific stuff in there that you want to go learn. And
there's a Mythbuster show.
Yeah. It's not that, but yeah. And then the most important life on Earth. And we're going to be talking about plankton and how the sea gives us a lot of our oxygen. So go check that out. I hope you learned something, and I hope you write me something. You could do fiction or reality and whatever sparks your muse. So it doesn't have to be exactly what the video says. Just it is there for your learning pleasure and your muse to spark. And that's it. And that's on at 8 p.m.
Teacher.
Eastern as well.
I have a question, teacher. Huh? I have a question, teacher.
Oh, yes.
I have a question. Can I write about how planting give whales flatulence?
Absolutely.
Yes.
That sounds quite brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I just...
If we get educated by Sky on flatulence, we might have given people a way to come up with a few more logical excuses or places to blame. Just saying.
Well, I put that comment up, and like 5 minutes after putting the topic up, Stephen had a poem. So
I think he was inspired.
I got one since you said it, the guy thing.
There you go. Find her topic board.
Pre-writes, if they're on topic, are always welcome as well. Okay, guys, I'm falling fast. I'm like a tree saying timber. Thank you so much. I give a little note on some people. So, good night.
Thank you. Good night, Sky.
My sweet, will you comment anyway and go ahead and read for us?
Yes, absolutely. I loved your poem. It's the ebb and flow of it, like the water into the bay, and the colors were as vibrant as the sunset and the sunrise. And the metaphors as to whether, you know, someone made it to a safe harbor or were lost at sea. Thought there was a lot of them. So I think you met all of the wonderful attributes of a lighthouse. There you go.
Thank you, Dawn. Yours is up there.
All right. This is the Country Store and Cafe. The third wooden plank creaked the loudest on the steps of the old cafe and country store, a place that brewed black coffee for cowboys as the chickens laid the breakfast eggs, a place that ain't dirty but ain't clean. Rusty pickup trucks sporting steer horns filled the gravel lot by dawn. Men in working boots tipped hats with worn working hands and wouldn't smile at the lyrical tale spinning from early morning gongs. As tangerine skies painted the skies and welcomed morning. A familiar face framed in cinnamon spiral curls tucked in cornflower ribbons served hot coffee and giggles with the morning specials. The smell of ham, bacon, and sauces caressed the air, and the store's favorite dog, Red, was always up for begging. Apple, cherry, blueberry, and pumpkin pies were cooling as wheat, white, pumpernickel, and rye rose in the window. Donuts by the dozens bought and boxed left the store. And the baker exhausted and before the clock struck noon. Flour, sugar, wrenches, screws, and bath salt, and turkey. Red velvet fabric, hairbrushes, and castor oil, and gasoline. Steaks and mashed potatoes served with an ice-cold beer, with a sliced apple pie and a dollop of vanilla ice cream. The third wooden plank creaked the loudest on the steps of an old cafe and county store, a place that brewed black coffee for cowboys as the chickens laid the breakfast egg, a place that ain't dirty but ain't clean. And clean.
Wow, sweet. Talk about bringing something to life. I think you pulled me in and walked me through the store, and aside from all the things that you introduced us to, like those chickens that were laying those breakfast eggs and stuff, there was also a sound in your voice that seemed to really, really kick in with nostalgia. Like I could almost feel as if you've been there, you were in there. Tell us what you were seeing and feeling around you, and you were smelling the fruits and the pie, and you were listing the stuff that's for sale, and it was just all built up to the end where the old cafe and country store were a place that the brewed black coffee for cowboys as the chicken laid the breakfast eggs. And I love the last line, a place that ain't dirty, but it ain't clean. So, and it makes perfect sense because, like, you know, you go into those old country stores, and because they are older, and like the one on the corner here is actually a historic landmark. It's been here. It's one of the first things that ever came to this town, along with the inn directly across the street from it. And that's what, how I would explain them, too. Even from the outside, the buildings look kind of, they ain't really dirty, but they ain't clean. And they don't have snappy paint jobs because they still have original paint type of thing. And the thinner slats on the outside of the walls and stuff like that. So you pulled all the charm of a country store and put it through all the lines and brought us on the journey with you. So I think you did brilliant, my dear. Let me give you some comments. Let me go to Kay, please.
Yeah. I like the way this reads because the stanza really stands out as a familiar face framed in cinnamon spiral curls tucked in cornflower ribbons. I love everything about that whole stanza because it reminds me of places from the past where it does have that feeling of home. You're right, it definitely complements the view. It speaks of yesterday's, but it also brings in nostalgia and a sense of home that's inviting. But I also like how you say a reminder of a place that ain't dirty, but it ain't clean, as it is a reminder of, you know, that it is its own place, a place for one to hang their hat, saying it's just right. It may not be for everyone, but it still is its slice of home. It's an awesome share.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment, Kay. And Stephen?
Well, I have to say, Sweet, that you perfectly described this place that when me and my father used to go fishing at Pymatuning Lake, there was a general store and also bait shop that they had called Duck and Drake right on the road that we'd always take a ride on to head to the place where we'd usually fish. And we'd always stop there to get some coffee, get some bait and maybe some donuts or something like that. I really like the descriptions in this, your attention to detail. I said in my comment, you not only describe the picture, but you also take us right into it as well. I even think Wayne got nabbed for trying to sneak one of those pies under his jacket. The third plank made me think of how I knew where every squeak in the floor was when I was growing up, so I could sneak out of the house. I thought this was an excellent ride.
Awesome yeah. Comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, the second step on the second part of the landing and the second to the last step up is the creakers, my house. Had to know. No, I like the, like Deb said, the last line, it ain't dirty, but it ain't clean, it ain't dirty. What was it? I'm sorry. The place that ain't dirty, but it ain't clean. You know, that's perfect. I've mentioned this many times. I was raised on my aunt's farm, spent a lot of time on it, and a farmhouse, it ain't clean, but it ain't dirty, but it's, you know, it's got the huge fireplace and the smell. I like how you know what a cackleberry is, right?
Cackleberry.
No. Cackleberry is an egg. It's a chicken egg. Cackleberry.
Okay, I've never heard of that. Okay. Never heard that.
So you did great with listing the ingredients that were at the store, and read the dog. You named the dog. That's great. That personalizes it. Just simple little things like that can really personalize the right. And you read it so more calmly than you normally do. I don't know if it was just me. Which added a touch to the memories. Busted pickup trucks. I'm getting all nostalgic here.
Or your steer horns.
Yeah. Gems. Great comment, Hatter. And Wayne? Will you comment for Sweet and then read yours first?
I got a SoundCloud with mine if you want to get that for it. But anyway, what'd you say the name, what the address of the store was? I'm starving now. There's the fish parmaid, blade, bacon, ham, and fresh coffee, man. And the desserts with apple pie and ice cream. Man, I can taste this flame. I can hear the dog whimpering, begging for food. This is a great place, steak, mashed potatoes, and what? Cold beer? Man, I need to go there fast. And by the way, I am a cowboy, ma'am. It's right up my alley. Great playing with this. I enjoyed this point. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. And I do have your SoundCloud. It's all set. So if you guys click on Wayne's poem, I will push play.
Are you guys gone? I see Stephen K. Are you gone?
Yeah, they had to
you guys.
Go. Okay. Right now it's me, you, Wayne, and Sweet. So here we go.
Okay.
This is called Cabin on the Creek. Curve in Crystal Creek, circled cedar home, tulips dot bank, where blue butterflies roam. Trees, radiant color leaves, hang in sun's prism. Air bubbly with scent of rose ripe persimmons. Goldenrod rays of crescent sun illuminate shore. Rectangle family flag welcomes travelers at door. Spear of aged oak drops slotted shadowed shade. Snowball swans sing summer song while squirrels play. Wiggling waves in water dance in delightful rings. Lazy lily pads applaud colors bouquet blossoms brings. Octagon limestone rocks line the waterway edge. Silver stones silently sit securing shore in sculptured wedge. Cobblestone fireplace flames grist and cashmere cube. Pajama people sip sangria tea the plastic cylinder tube. In.
Well, Wayne, I have to start by saying there was something really endearing about that background music. I couldn't, it kept lulling me. I really, really liked the tranquil, calming choice that you put back there. And then your visuals, right from the get-go, curving Crystal Creek, circled cedar home, tulips, that bank where blue butterflies roam. I like the visual, the roam, the flow. So you start us off with gorgeousness right there. And I'm going to skip down to the third stanza. Wiggling waves in water dance in delightful rings. Lazy lily pads applaud color bouquet blossom brings. There's a enchanted feel to the rhyme scheme that you used, to the descriptors that you used. And I thought that you sat down with your pen and you painted us a scene every bit as stunning and bold as the photo in front of us. But your voice and the background choice of the music that you chose was like so spot on that it was a total package, and it brought everything completely to the forefront. And it was delightful.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Great share.
I'm
sorry? You said it was your second highest.
I think it was the poem of all time, what they said.
I love when that happens, especially because it puts a nice happiness in your voice when you tell me about it. So I love that. Hatter, you want to comment for me?
Yeah, pajama people compared to non-jama people.
You tell me what it is.
Sangria tea. I don't know if you're praising the pajama people, or you're not especially liking the pajama people?
If they're sitting in the fireplace getting ready to go to bed.
Yeah. Sitting cross-legged on the floor. 25 or 6-4. Yeah. I love your word banks, Wayne. Nobody does it better than you. You don't really know. Even though you know the word banks there, you wouldn't if you didn't know it ahead of time. And that's hard to do when you. Well, my point is, other people sometimes they can overload the sentence so much. You sort of guess, well, there's a word bank involved. You do it so well hiding that. I think that's quite a good talent there. You said squirrels have got my attention. Squirrels. Yeah, I like your SoundCloud. You slow it down a little bit, Wayne. That's always good, too. Good job. Yeah.
Awesome and sweet.
Hey,
I love this. I think it's pretty. I love the absolute colors in it. I love the pajama people, by the way. Pajama people sit sangaree tea through plastic cylinder tube. I think that's I don't know. You've got all this beautiful, you know, golden rays of crescent sun illuminate shore, and they're all just getting drunk as they can be in their little pretty house. I think that's my favorite part of the whole poem. I love that part, Wade. It's got this gorgeous scenario and everything's there, and there's the pajama people. Kind of remembers like 1960 sit-in. It's perfect.
Yeah. Is that Indian plastic cylinder tube? Is that a straw?
It's a straw.
Okay. Cool.
Plastic cylinder tube. It's straw.
And they make them now. You know, like it.
They make some square now.
Crazy straws.
Exactly.
Awesome comment, you guys. Sweet, would you mind reading for Angel, please?
I don't have a problem with that. One second ago, sir. Sorry.
Before you start, Wayne, if you're near leaving, hold on for me. I was going to get you to read for Xylophonic Blue before you go. Right.
Oh, no. I don't know if I can read his or not. He's pretty confident. I'll try.
This is Harmonial Bliss by Heavenly Angel. Whispered love notes betwixt sweet sighs trace along very lit of sweet and heavy honey, ripened to taste love's sweet nectar. Scents of allspice and cinnamon, smoky scents from inviting fires, invariably elicit exclamation of unadulterated contentment. Autumn seemed to arrive suddenly that year, with skies of azure blue, tinted with dots of violet, lavender hues. The morning of the first September was crisp and golden as an apple, the sun a bright lemon orb, casting its rays into a shimmering line upon a periwinkle palm, filled with sweet scent, fragrant pine and oak. Clean, fresh air brings a sense of serenity. Gently the wind gathers leaves of red, tangerine and spearmint, and blows them in a semicircle. Where they land is anyone's guess, a true carpet of color, feet tread upon as if Mother Nature blesses us with her splendor, with prisms of divine color. I shall once again be embraced by my autumn lover, circle of life continuing in a harmonious bliss. End poem.
That word stuck in your throat.
Wow. I whispered love notes betwixt sweet sighs traced along berry lips. I love that. And how apropos that I asked Sweet to read a poem that was had sweet sighs in it. I like where's that? Okay. The morning of the 1st September was crisp and golden as an apple. The sun, a bright lemon orb, casting its rays in a shimmering line upon Periwinkle Pond. Well, you know you got me with the Periwinkle Pond. And I love that it's in the pond, and I've never I don't think I've put it in water before. I always manage to put it on everything under the sun or even the sky, but I don't think I've put it on water, so I'm loving that. But I like the scene. I like the feel. And then the ending there, I shall dance once, I shall once again be embraced by my autumnal love, the circle of life continuing in harmonial bliss. So like this beautiful, happy ending of togetherness and bliss, I thought that there was a tranquil feel to the photo or to the, and a, just as much of a tranquil feel to the words. And I love that it went full circle from the title, Harmonial Bliss, to the closing line of being in that harmonial bliss. So I thought that this was fantastic share, and I appreciate Angel very much, and I appreciate that you read it, Sweet. Will you comment as well?
Yeah, I really like the sense, the touch, the romantic undertones, and the blessings of nature all wrapped in the shades of autumn.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, two things. I want you to comment for Angel, but I just accidentally deleted the poem link that you put up. So after you comment for Angel, will you get it for me?
That was my only copy. Okay, yeah, I'll do that.
That's it. That was all.
Definitely our group Hallmark poet. Just so soft and easy, and yeah. You can't help but just take a breath and let it out and just sort of melt. It's being read. It's always spot on. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome comment. And Wayne, can you
comment?
I'm sorry. Are you okay?
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wayne?
This is a lovely romantic poem with autumn as there is, the one she loves, tender, soft mood, and the mood of love is all the way through the poem. I like the way she did it. She's going to embrace the autumn and love her at the end of it. Great job of this poem. I think I'm in love with autumn now myself. She did a wonderful job of this poem. Great mood.
Awesome comment. Thank you very much. Okay. Did you get my inbox, Wayne?
Okay. There's Wayne.
Did I lose Wayne?
I was supposed to do that, but yeah.
No, he's still here. I'm just grabbing the link. Be right there with that. So here's where we're at. There it is. Okay. Let me see if I can get Wayne to comment first, and then I would like you to read yours first, Hatter, please.
Ready? Hey, Wayne. Yeah? Unmuted.
I just commented a second ago. Yeah, I just commented a second ago. I can go back and do it again. But I just commented. And
was
so
it me?
Point,
or, I'm sorry. No, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it at all. It must have
been. Oh, well. Yeah, I commented on it. I have to look at the poem again.
Awesome. Hatter, will you read your poem for us, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine's called A Canadian Divorce. And you got to take a good look at the picture. versa. You know, look at all the characters that are in there. And it made a little more sense when I read it. Okay. If you notice the two geese. It goes like this. You said it would be good to take a trip away. You never mentioned it could possibly turn out this way. What was it you said about being nice and now our feet are frozen in the ice? Was my mother such a bad idea? You'd be watching games and having a beer. See what I did there? But no, it's 10 below and I can't feel anything below my knees. So what do we do when we start to turn blue and now I have to sneeze? I did not find it funny. It should be warm and sunny, that place we decided to go. And what did you mean when you said about being and acting like a pink flamingo? When we get home, you'll be alone. A Canadian divorce I'll seek. I feel I'm crying and not even trying. I think I have chapped beak. Flying down to the States was my first mistake because you won't ask for directions. California is where we should be, and we're still in Yukon territory. He made all the wrong decisions. Winters for nuts, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I was crazy to go on holiday with you. See those geese in the picture? They're frozen now. They're like flamingos.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Just act like a pink flamingo. We'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. My God.
You know, I love the title.
Oh, my God.
A Canadian divorce, really. Was my mother a bad idea? You'd be watching the games and having a yeah, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's too low, and I can't feel anything below my knees. So what do? When we start to turn blue, and now I have to sneeze. Do you sneeze icicles?
Yeah.
I thought this was really cool. And then you got me. When we got home, you'll be alone. A Canadian divorce I'll seek. I'll feel like crying and not even trying. I think I'll have Jeff Beak. You're insane, Hatter. And then the closing couplet, which was for nuts, and there's no ifs and buts. I was crazy to go on a holiday with you. I like your approach, and the giggle was a nice gift. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My sweet,
I have to get
I am muted. Wow. Well, this is dark and dreary and. At least there were no planes brought down. Glad you enjoyed your vacation. Oh, my God. There are so many things that are wrong with this poem, and yet so many things that are right. I just don't even know. I don't even know what to say about these poor geese, because you know geese mate for life. They don't get divorced. They're there through thick and thin.
Yeah.
Or Canadian geese. This is hilarious, Hatter. It's just one of those hilarious things that you just have to follow through with.
All because you won't ask for directions.
All because you won't ask for directions, yes.
Okay.
It's one of those things.
Just act like a flamingo. What?
Like a flamingo. Just look the other way.
Yeah, sure.
Awesome comment. Wayne?
Yeah, this is a great poem. I like humor anyway. This is just a humorous poem all the way through. I think the geese got goosed. And I like the line where he said, I feel like crying. I'm not even trying. I think I have chapped beak. That's great. Just always, every phrase you got in there is just perfectly internal rhyme and just like the header always does. This is a great poem. I enjoyed the poem. Like, this is a made my night. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. Okay, so where we are is I have the one on the board, and then I have Liquid Damage, Phil the Poet, and Joel Green, and we are done. So.
I'll try the exotic
Wayne,
green. Give me
do you want to tackle that?
Yeah, I'll try it. He's always got a pretty complicated point, but this one don't look like as complicated as the rest of them was because he's a pretty good writer. And so I'll try that to see what I do. It's called a Christmas card prayer of peace. It goes like this. Wonder if the snow loves the trees and fields, that it kisses them so gently, and then it covers them up snug. And you know, a white quilt, and perhaps to say, go to sleep, darling, till the summer comes again, as does Carol.
Did we just lose Wayne?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let me start over. I don't know what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, this is twice.
Okay.
What was it?
Yeah, it just like totally cut them out. Wayne?
Yeah, I'm here back. Is it? I got some kind of recording on my phone that said the person I was trying to call wasn't available. I wouldn't call nobody.
That's weird.
This phone is crazy. So anyway, I'm going to start over again. Well, now
please.
A master glowing sphere, a far-off, burned-out meteorite. There, when reality, my eyes fixed. Cobalt continental divide splits, rejoins, creating pearl basins, never escaped to a sea remixed. Falling, asping glass crystals, prism sapphire stills waters, lips under the god and the gold bronze stars, calling. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near. Angels ivory herald arc, silver glitters have traveled upon moonless crescent face. Cold and weary lightened by my dark darkness, as gray steps against the wind and covers the blind-eyed darkness. Cold and weary, breath of heaven, forever you are holy, hope's prince of peace, you are a vessel star of breath of heaven. Lighten us, please. Hold us forever, breath of heaven's peace. Sorry, Ian.
Thank you,
but
I think that when Xylophonic Blue sits down, he pulls so much imagery that he takes us on a journey every time. And on this one, there was something about the opening. I wonder if the snow loves the trees and fields that it them so gently. I think that's like, wow, there's just something that you don't think about it, but the snow just does gently trickle on that field. But I wonder if the snow loves the trees and fields that it kisses them so gently. So I love the prompt there. And then he goes into like here on the alabaster glowing sphere, a far off burnt meteorite, the air of unreality, my eyes fixed, and there's like you can visualize the burning view from the meteorite. In the middle, a couple of stanzas down, falling, asping glass crystals, prisms, sapphire, stilled waters, ellipses under a gold frond of I like that idea, the gold frond of stars, because they're like hanging like a frond would on a fern. So that's a pretty visual. And then I'll take one more. Angel's ivory heralded arc, silvery glitter has traveled upon a moonless crescent's face. That's an absolutely gorgeous stanza. So I think that he captured all the enchantment of the photo and then shared it with beautiful imagery all through his poem and a great feel, especially in the close, hold us forever, breath of heaven's peace. So I think that it's an absolutely gorgeous work. And I didn't realize that there was a SoundCloud. Now I feel really bad. I didn't see a note about a SoundCloud. I apologize, but I very much enjoyed the poem. And Wayne, I appreciate you for reading it. What did you think?
So I'll play the SoundCloud so we see what it really sounds like. I wonder what this is. Crap.
Yeah, I don't have it loaded, but yeah, I'm kind of bummed that I didn't realize that he had one. Got quiet again. Hatter, what did you think?
My screen was jumping back and forth, but I got most of it. I'm rereading it now. Yeah, very very holidayish, very Christmassy. He definitely thinks out of the box. Now, he's got a quote. Is that the beginning quote by Lewis Carroll? I wonder the snow loves the trees and fields, but it kisses them so gently. And then at the bottom of the summer comes again, Lewis Carroll.
Yeah, I thought it
Carroll.
Was an amazing quote. A beautiful quote. I was just
beautiful.
Looking to actually see if it was one of the ones that I put up there or if he brought it, because if I brought it, I'm a little embarrassed because I don't remember it, but I'm looking real quick here. It looks like it was one I brought. You know what happened? I must have read it a while ago and put it on a list and forgot about it. But, it was number two. So, but yeah, I love the quote that he chose.
Sense of peace. Yeah. Beautiful. Feeling all Christmassy all of a sudden. Oh, no.
I know, it's getting really close, right?
Cool.
And, yes. Sweet, will you comment?
Hey, Amadeus.
Hey, Amadeus. Oh, it's not Amadeus. It's me. Well, first off, he always has the most metaphorical ways of using words. It's one of the things I like about Blue is when you read him, you're always going back and go, cobalt continental divide splits, rejoins, creating pearl basins, never escaped to a sea remix. So I have to sit there and really think, okay, oh, wow, that's really cool. That's pretty interesting the way he talks about that. Because, like, I'm in the mountains, so I never kind of, like I cross the continental divide, like, 15 times sometimes. Like, when I'm going from here to Wyoming, I count it so many times I don't even think about it. So, but the way he puts it, like, never escape to a sea remix. That's kind of cute. I like that. And then you go, breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. I like that metaphor, too. Be forever near me. Because obviously the breath of heaven should always be near us because it's vast, it never goes anywhere. So sometimes when I read his stuff, I have to go back and reread. And I love when he talks, hopes, prince of peace, your Bethlehem star, O breath of heaven, light, earth, sweet. Because then I'm thinking of the songs. Like, there's, like, three or four lines in there for me from different Christmas songs. Bethlehem, Away in the Manger.
Grandma Got Run Over by Reindeer.
No, that Grandma Got No Run Over is not in here. Oh, Holy Night.
Okay.
there's none of that in here. So there's different, and so I'm seeing that. And then just when you put the whole piece together as a whole, it's just this beautiful, peaceful, you know, kind of the angels are watching this Christmas time, how holy it is, how beautiful it is. Don't forget what it's all about, bringing the world together, bringing everyone together in this moment of peace and love and joy. And, you know, it to me, it's just very, very pretty. And so sometimes reading Blue is you can really focus on each individual message that he gives you and then the ability, you know, to put it together and really see how beautiful his writing is. And I always have had a liking for that.
Awesome comments, sweet. All right, so I have Gerald, Bill's, and Linda's, and I'm going to shut down early because I'm really battling a double vision headache that's kicking my ass.
I'm sorry.
If you guys would click on Gerald's poem, I'll push play.
The Arbitrator, written and read by Gerald Green. Epigraph. Spring is the time of year when it is summer in the sun and winter in the shade. By Charles Dickens. The young preacher paused on the sticky dirt road, still wet from last night's rain, waiting for courage to spurn. He looked for danger into the eyes of every animal before proceeding into the small yard and stone walkway leading to the porch. He'd never seen a barnyard in a front yard. Perhaps this is part of the ongoing battle he'd come to settle. Somehow a few spring flowers survived, with patches of white, yellow, blue, and red standing in semi-protected places next to fences and barriers. The couple, married for 45 years, now ostracized by the community, stayed together by a bond of hate, proving to be stronger than love. It began with a small but indelicate comment regarding a dusty windowsill that escalated, ping-ponging between partners until war was declared when he crossed the final line. The husband removed the barnyard fence, hoping the resulting smell would create a call for truce that had an unfortunate but opposite effect. This was a battle the Pentagon couldn't win as they removed wedding rings and squared off for this fight that had lasted 6 years. The preacher heard about the poor housekeeping from their shrinking circle of friends, as well as the filthy kitchen. They had failed to point out how the war had affected the front yard. After considering the putrid smell, he was prepared for the worst. An old orange-cased tractor stood by the dusty gray house, a pleasant setting elsewhere, but this was no elsewhere. This was shade. He was glad he wore rubber boots as he made his way past the curious animals and friendly dog. He whispered a short prayer and knocked. End poem.
Okay, what I miss?
Huh?
I missed something. What I missed? I missed something. To where that last line is pertinent to knock. He whispered a short prayer and knocked.
But no, I love this, the history. The picture is really cute, and I love where the title of The Arbitrator. So that was cool. And then the quote he chose is Charles Dickens, spring is the time of year when it's summer in the sun and winter in the shade. And then he played on that with stuff like the second stanza. He looked for danger into the eyes of every animal before proceeding into the small yard and stone walkway leading to the porch. Never seen a barnyard, front yard, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's a farm. It struck me funny, cute there, and the thought of him looking for that danger. Where's that? Somehow, a few spring flowers survived with patches of white, yellow, blue, and red, standing in semi-protected places next to fences and barriers, semi-protected spaces. The husband removed the barnyard fence, hoping the resulting smell would create a call for truce that had the unfortunate opposite effect. Best laid plans and all that on there. And you almost had smell-o-vision poetry, because I don't think there's anybody who's never driven past a farm and smelled that lovely cologne in the air. So it made me think of many places around here that you drive past and you just hope you can hold your breath long enough to get by, and you start to feel sorry for all the people that live around that scent. So that's where that took me. But I like the little tidbits, like the orange case tractor and the, but this was no, no elsewhere. This was shade, and it was just like a revelation. This was shade. And then at the end there, curious animals and a friendly dog, and he whispered a short prayer and knocked. And you get this feeling of like, excuse me, if this, you have to go see the pigs and the cows and every critter under the sun to get to the front porch, and you're like, okay, I survived that. What might be past this door? Do I knock? So I thought that was a very clever ending. Great share. Thank you, Gerald. What you think, Kevin?
Okay, what did you just say about then he knocked? Because that's the preacher, right? He whispered a short prayer and knocked. Because he's going to confront the Hatfield-McCoy war.
But you figure after going through all the critters in the yard, he was a little afraid to knock. But, yeah, that's very cool.
Oh, okay. Curious animals, friendly dogs, whisper a short prayer and knock. You know, that's clever how to leave it like that. Leave it where the preacher's knocking on the door. And the old case tractor, of course it's shade for all the birds. Picture's almost a Noah looking thing. Noah the baby. Nice. Sheep.
Oh, that was terrible. Sweet, will you comment?
Well, I actually love this because I want to know what was behind the door. You know, my daddy was a preacher, and some of the witnessing or help we were asked to do, when we went to the door, it wasn't so pretty. So I love how he set it up, the outside and everything. It's just really well done. I mean, you have to think about if this is what the front yard looks like, what's going to be inside the house? Should I be afraid? Should I not be afraid? Should this be normal? Should it not be normal? Maybe we take the outside looking like that so the inside could be perfect. You know what I'm saying? Well.
And then there's always that fun little tidbit. There's always that fun little tidbit that it could be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that's been inside, too.
You know, and then you say that all started with a comment about a dusty windowsill. You know, that's just all cleverly done.
Right.
But
it's crazy to think, like, this is what I went through to get to the door. Now what's going to happen? Say your prayer.
And I agree with you. You kind of make me want to know. I even wrote in my comment that it kind of needs another installment so we can find out what happens when the door opens.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same thing.
So maybe he'll read the comment and come up with some kind of twist for us inside. We shall see. Dun, dun, dun. So, last two. Please click on Phil's poem, and I will push his recording.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called A Wintry Evening Walk. Under a hazy crescent moon, I stroll upon a wintry carpet of ivory white, wrapped up like an Eskimo, trying to avoid Jack Frost's grievous bite. The crunch of my boots on the pathway, the only sound. The heavens with a semicircle leading me homeward bound. Stepping upon the orb of Earth's hidden emerald greens, catching the sound of nearby flowing streams, looking up to the ebony sky that wraps around like a blanket, the moon wedged in place by some kind of cosmic gambit. In the distance I see the prism of welcoming lights, calling me home to frothy hot chocolate and tempting bites, giving my feet confidence to strut the final arc, to warm the fading embers with a miraculous spark. Through the pyramid-shaped fir trees I wander, following a line of kite-shaped branches pointing yonder to the place where voices ring out with warmth and joy, wild expectations on the face of every girl and boy. As soon as the latch to the gate sounds, they come to greet me, surrounding me in a circle of excitement, saying, "Let us see, let us see." From my rucksack, a little yelp is heard, and a nose appears. The winter's night is filled with the sound of grateful tears. End of poem.
No, I know I say this often, but I really love listening to Phil when he reads, because his pronunciations are always so incredible. And Phil is another one of those poets that you can pretty much send anything to, and he's going to blow us away with his right. I am putting, I'm stalling a little with my words because I was just putting the art that he wrote to on the board so that you guys can see it, see what it is he just brought to life. So I like the wintry evening walk. So he starts us on that walk with the hope of not getting bit by Jack Frost's grievous bite. And I really like that, Jack Frost's grievous bite, because that does hurt. So grievous bite is an excellent description there. The heavens with a semicircle of stars leading me homeward bound. You can almost see the sky as he was reading that part, and the lights flashing, lighting the way on the path that he's taken home. And if you look at the photo there, you can see the colors in the sky and just little bits of light that's shining down, glittering off the spots that it hits in the snow. In the distance, I see the prism of welcoming lights calling me home in frothy hot chocolate and tempting bites. Like now he's got me sitting here wanting a nice mug of hot chocolate. And I don't have a fireplace, but I want to drink that cup of hot chocolate right next to a roaring fire, so I can't do that either. But he gave me an image that put in my mind, and I thought that it was excellent. And the one other thing, through the pyramid-shaped fir trees I wander, following a line of kite-shaped branches pointing yonder. I love that he used the word yonder, because it put an old world or a country-ish spin on the phrasing. So, as usual, I think that Phil did an excellent job, and I love his recordings. Keep them coming, Phil. Thank you very, very much. Hatter, what you think?
No, I just noticed you don't even know it's a rhyming poem, because it reads so smooth. I mean, I had to look back and go, look at it, it does rhyme. And that says, that speaks highly of his ability to rhyme when you don't even know it's rhyming, you're reading along. I think you're right. He's one that we need on our team when the poem wars start. Because it's coming.
Is it?
Coming. Sure.
Please, comment, please.
They're coming. The poem wars are coming.
The poem wars are coming.
The poem wars are coming. you know, what I really like about, you know, if I'm reading Smiling, I know I'm reading something from Phil. I think this is amazing imagery. It's kind of wraps you in a cozy, like I'm all cozy and fun. But I just have to tell, beware Jack Frost, because hot chocolate will burn you. I just want you to know.
How you feeling, Deb?
I can make it for 1 minute. I was sweet. I love you using that comment there.
Yeah, nice job, Phil. Phil the poet.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome comment. Thank you, sweet. Okay. Now.
Did you read Wayne's? Wayne had to go, right?
Yeah.
Well, he had his downside. So yeah, absolutely. I got his in the beginning. And then I just asked him if he would hang out and read one more for me when he did Blue. All right. This is the last poem of the night, and I'm going to try to read it for her. So if you guys...
Want me to read it?
You guys click... Yeah, you know what? Do, please.
Okay. It's like if you've got a bad headache, I can do it. All right. I don't think Linda will be too upset with it.
I don't see it.
I lost us. I don't either. I'm like, I lost us.
It should be right there with Phil. If I put them on together.
See, Phil's
got a picture. Oh, it's above the picture. Never mind.
Yeah.
I've got it. I got it.
Okay.
It's above the picture, not below it. I got it.
Gotcha.
Triangle of Remembrance by Liquid Damage. Grandmother died last night, and in my grief, I stole away from the furry family into the forest outside the cabinet. Outside the cabin where I grew up with her. The trees were fragrant and the air was crisp. Sparkles shine upon my cheeks as the snow, like to stick out my tongue and catch the falling sparkles. Ooh, what a beautiful feeling, that cold upon my mouth. The snow gently caressing the hills and the dust. The trees in white like wrapping paper covering the presents for Christmas. Glorious colors from the sun cast down upon the white hills. Yellow, tangerine, and lilac shine upon the snow, making it glow with colors gold and shine like jewels. The sun itself rests on the crest of the hills like a ball of crimson fire, ready to descend slowly behind them. I watch as it makes a slow advance towards a mutual understanding. Little by little, it sinks, leaving streams of color. Purple, sangria, opal, and teal upon the hills, like a masterpiece by Monet. Then, just as if it had never been, the sun makes its final plea and disappears behind the hills, leaving streams of lavender and gunmetal upon the snow, thus ushering in polars, no star twinkling like the king's jewel up in the sky, the North Star twinkling like kings. Up in the sky, he says, may I introduce the great and powerful moon, my friend, that wonderful spirit that rules the night. And the moon replies, I have brought clean winter nocturnal to you, and winks at me in a gleeful manner. I wink back at him, and I thank him for such a beautiful night. As I stand square upon my feet, I inhale deeply, and the coolness of the night embraces my lungs. I take a biscuit from my pocket, one that my grandmother had given me the day before. And I take a bite. And I take a wedge of it and leave it on the stump like it did every night for the woodland creature to feast upon. The great moon lights away as I walk the path around the frozen lake. How glorious is it that it holds the reflection of the forest and all that be like a mirror of my world. I ponder for a moment. How polished is it tonight? Out here where the quiet enshrouded me and the stars in the sky twinkle brightly for my eyes. And out of the darkness, I hear an old triangle calling me home. Grandma had used it since I was a child to call me. No matter where I was, I came running. I can remember the sound. Time to come home, it said. Time to come home. And home.
Beautiful.
Wow.
And this was like, yeah, that's what I want to say. Wow. It's from the title, Grandma, Triangle of Remembrance. It's a great title. And I think I'm going to go, where was that? My stand square upon my feet. I inhale deeply, and the coolness of the night embraces my lungs. I take a biscuit from my pocket, one that grandmother had given me the day before, and I take a bite. Then I take a wedge of it and leave it in the stump, like I did every night, for the woodland creatures to feast on. There's something about that scene. I could see it there, and the bite is not a hungry bite. It's just I'm going to take one and I'm going to share one, and like it was done more out of a habit and a tribute or an ode to that particular moment. And there's just something about the foot. I can almost picture that piece of biscuit sitting on that wedge and wondering whether a squirrel will get it first or a bird will fly up and take it. But aside from that scene there, the thoughts and memories that came in as she took us through the journey with the stars twinkling, I just think that it was a very emotional piece, a very descriptive, nostalgic, heartfelt piece. And again, I say, sweet, you read it brilliantly. Can you give her a comment, please?
Yeah, I said this is classically you. Stunning, magical, filled with emotion. Leaving me with my mouth hanging open, wondering how time passed and where and when I left the forest to come home.
Amazing comment. Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, it reminded me of when I was on the farm and my uncle had a stroke. And all of a sudden, the farm was left to me to get. We were mowing at the time, mowing alfalfa and stacking. So the farm was different. That night, I remember going out and under the stars and looking around, and it just all seemed like my uncle, everything about it. And when she wrote about leaving a bit of the cracker or the biscuit on for the animals, it... it reminded me of the animals there at the barn. It just everything was different. Sort of like when my dad passed away, the world was different. It just was. The whole thing, and she did a wonderful job writing this. You know, at the first line, you got to take your breath and go, oh, whoa, you know, grandma died. But then she did a great job talking about the memory and the cracker that she had given her the cookie or whatever that she had given her the day before. Yeah. Sigh.
Yeah. Great comment, Hatter. Great comment on the day. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm at the part where I'm going to say thank you, Hatter, and thank you, Sky, and thank you, Stephen, and Kay, and Wayne, and Sweet, and Amadeus, and thank you to Phil and Gerald for sending in the recording, and to Angel and the Xylophonic Glue and Liquid Damage for sending in the poems. appreciate you all very, very much. And tomorrow night at 10 is Pre-Bird Show, and her topic is things that take your breath away, respiratory distress, wherever that phrase takes you. Check the board first because you might have a poem there already. This is a show that had to be postponed, but if you want to hang out with Pretty Bird, tomorrow's the chance, 10 p.m. Eastern. Hope to see you there. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to take us out of here with a feel-good song just because, and that song is The Rainbow Connection. And it's a song from 1979 from the Muppet movie. And the music and the lyrics were written by Paul Williams and Kenneth Asher, but the song was actually performed by Jim Henson himself as Kermit the Frog. So the version that you're about to hear, we will have Kermit the Frog sing us out. Love and respect, everyone.
So many songs about rainbows and what's on the other side. Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably magic. Have you been half asleep, and have you heard voices? I've heard them calling my name. Is this the sweet sound that calls the young sailors? The voice might be one and the same. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something that I'm supposed to be. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.
Night, sweet. Night, Amadeus.
Night, darling.
Night,
Heather. Thank you, guys. Night, ladies. Nice spending the night with you. Thank you.
Always. Bye.